Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca. Like one thing that I know that I always pray, and as I journal and as I kind of write things down, one thing that I have noticed is a common theme when I pray. It's this: Lord, protect me. Lord, keep me safe. If you read the benedictions, you know, one of the most famous ones is may the Lord keep you, hold you and keep you. It's kind of a key term which we see throughout Scripture. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Of course you have. I would imagine that if you examined your life, you would see that component quite often. And there are some times in your life where it is the only component. You go through those times, don't you? If you examine during the COVID-19 time, this time that we're going through, YouVersion Bible app probably, I think, is the most popular Bible app for those people who have read scriptures through their app. And a Bible Gateway, which is the most popular website having to do with scripture reading. They kind of keep tabs on the search engines of scriptures which come up. Over the last, I think, 4 months, the most popular passages of scripture have been Psalm 91. For those of you who don't know Psalm 91, it is the prototypical prayer or psalm of protection. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it goes into it. I'll kind of talk about it a little bit more. The other one is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind. Most of us know it. The other one is in Philippians, where Paul tells us not to be anxious about everything, but prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It is important. As a matter of fact, it is all over the scripture. And it's important today, because for some of us who are younger, I don't know, I like to include myself in that, but I probably can't include myself in that. But for some of us, we are in the midst of a time of unsureness that we've never, ever experienced before. And so it's important to talk about the subject. And as we talk about the subject and you look at the scriptures, there is so much there. He is my defender. He is my help. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, it talks about the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. All the things having to do with what a shepherd does, it talks about the shadow of the Almighty or the shadow of his wing being on you. It talks about a fortress. It talks about a refuge. It talks about a strong tower. It talks about a high rock. It talks about angels being given charge over us. Boy, there's so much that is in there. Psalm chapter 32, verse 7 says, you are my hiding place. That's what it talks about. You see, it's so much. And I'm just scratching the surface when we're talking about this thing, which is called protection. And there's so much reference, because I believe that God is trying to tell us that the safest place that you can be is in his arms. I think that God is trying to project that confidence upon you. And so let's just close in prayer. No, not really. There's a little bit more to the story, isn't there? Because when I get talking about this aspect of protection, there are, let me tell you right now, a lot of questions that I have. And I'm sure if you have lived life at all, you're asking yourself a whole bunch of other questions. Well, if there are so many scriptures on protection, how come he didn't protect me that time? Why is it that someone in this side of the congregation can stand up and give testimony of the fact that they were in an atrocious car accident and they were miraculously thrown from the vehicle and landed on their feet, not even a scratch? Whereas someone on this side of the congregation has a child that was in a car accident, perhaps was killed or was injured, and are dealing with the ramifications of that. Is it the fact that this person was living a better life than the person that was living on that side? Could it be at this point that all of us should probably move to this side of the congregation? I don't know why it happens. I don't know why God heals or God allows someone 24 to die of cancer and allows someone 94 to be healed of cancer. Can you tell me? Because I have a lot of questions. In the midst of all these scriptures, there is the fact that we as Christians need to keep it real. We need to answer. We need to find a theology. We need to find a common ground and ask ourselves the important questions, because the scriptures talk about protection a lot, which maybe even causes me to ask even more questions. What is my theology? Have I hammered out anything, or has it just been the fact that my life has been so chaotic that I just continue to pray for God to protect me and never ever really sit down and understand what God really says about it? Are you with me? No one's fallen asleep yet? How do you answer this question? It's important for you to answer this question. It's of utmost importance for you to answer this question, because there's going to be times that have happened in your life that you're wondering about, and perhaps things that you are going through now are things in the future that you will go through where you will ask these types of questions. And so it's important. It's important. So this month I'm going to be talking about Lord, protect me. I'm going to show you a number of different aspects of it. I'm going to be talking about protection, projection. Do we pray for our kids? Of course we pray for our kids. The importance of it. We're going to be talking about the good fight. We're going to be talking about the spiritual battle and protection. And when it comes to it, it's all spiritual, folks. Then I'm going to be talking about the shepherding hand of God. And hopefully I will confuse you less. Maybe that might be the best way of putting it. Causing us to go away, standing on a solid ground, praying for protection and asking God to move as scripture tells us to do. To protect. I pray for protection. When Jesus prays for the disciples in John chapter 17, one of the things he says is, God, I pray that you protect them. To be protected from temptation, to be protected from harm, physical harm, emotional harm, accidents, tragedies. We pray for our children. We intercede for people. We pray for a hedge of protection. We pray for protection from the evil one. We pray for protection from sickness. We pray for protection from war. There's so much. But here's what I have found. And let me just say this right now. And this is an important thing. And if all you get is the ground rules, I think it helps us. Because along with all of these scriptures that we have about protection, there are other scriptures as well. And you might kind of think, well, it's the fine print. Well, no, it's not the fine print, because scripture talks about this equally as well. And so if you take all the scriptures in mind, it allows you to be able to see how God is working and moving in our lives. Are you with me on this? You okay? Let me tell you what the ground rules are, if I could. And if you want to know the ground rules, you say, listen, I didn't have them up on PowerPoint or anything. I will email them to you if you are interested in all. The ground rules are this. First ground rule is that God is sovereign. What does that mean? Well, God is the creator not only of the earth and not only of you, but of the universe, which means that his ways are probably a little bit higher than our ways. That God not only sees today, he sees yesterday, today, and forever. That God is eternal. That God is unchanging. In the midst of that, some things happen and take place in our lives that we will never, ever understand. That you may think, I'll understand when I get to heaven, and I'm not even too sure if that is true, because God is God. And the terminology that we use for that is that God is sovereign. That God does some things simply because he is God. That's an important thing to understand. That God allows people to go through hard times. And if you don't go through hard times, you are superficial. You will not develop character. God allows character, situations to develop characters to cause us to trust in him. The rain falls on the good and bad. We are all living in a fallen world. Once sin entered the world, we became vulnerable, susceptible to repercussions of sickness, violence, all of those things. And so this is an important thing to understand. We are kind of in that realm. That you're always free to choose is the other rule. And you live by the choices that you make. Isn't that true? Best way I used to describe this is when we were kids, we lived in a forest, and behind, in a little bit in the forest, I was with my brother and a couple of friends, and we see this wasp nest or this bee's nest. And as a typical child, My brother picks up a rock and says, "Wouldn't it be neat if I threw this rock into the bee's nest?" And so we stood from a distance and started throwing crab apples and rocks at this bee's nest. And when we hit it, we heard a loud hum, right? And he kind of ran away. Am I the only one who did stuff like this? Pray for me, folks. And so while this had happened and while we were being kids, frankly, we had a friend whose name was Archie, okay? And we never ever considered the intelligence quotients of all of our friends because Archie kind of took a branch and he thought, you know what? If that's funny, it'll be even more funny if I take this branch and if I stab it into the heart of the wasp nest. And that's what he did. And the bees weren't too happy, and he got stung. And he came yelling, "Oh, what happened? Well, I got stung." "Well, you know, you were like 3 feet away and you stung us." He said, "You don't understand, I'm allergic to bees." Well, even at like 10 years old, my brother and I in unison said, "Well, Charlie, you're an idiot. If you put a branch in the bee's nest, chances are you'll be stung. You have the free will to make choices that you do." Here's the other ground rule. Ultimately, our decisions is to be with Christ in eternity. And that's the lens that God looks through. That's the filter that God works through. He has an eternal perspective. He has us in heaven for eternity in perspective. And despite all these things, God's presence never leaves us, that he won't ever come and give you more that you can bear, and he'll never leave you or he'll never forsake you. He's a friend that sticks closer to a brother. And he asks you to cast all of your care on him because he cares for you. And you need to realize another ground rule is that not feeling his presence doesn't mean that he's not there for you. That God's love is ever present, it's unfailing, and that God has a purpose for you and he has a purpose for me all at the same time. And if you can see these things as well as the scriptures that God gives us for protection, then it allows us to live in a way which is confident. That God has everything in control. Because there's the other ground rules are this, that the closer you are to Jesus, the closer he draws to you. That there are many undeniable scriptures that cling to the promise that he will protect us. That there are specific times in life where we will need God's protection more than others and for different purposes. And God's word encourages us not only to seek protection for ourselves, but for those around us, for our loved ones, for our nation, for people who don't know Jesus, for missionaries and pastors who are our particular targets from the enemy. We need to do that. It's important. So we need to understand that ultimately we serve a God who hears, who helps, and who holds. So what about today? Well, let me ask you this question. What kind of protection are you looking for? Now, for those of you who have ever gotten insurance, and I have to be careful how I say this because I know that there are insurance people in the congregation weighing heavily everything that I'm going to say at this point, telling me after the service whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. But if you go for insurance, you will sit down across the desk and there will probably be some plexiglass thing across it now. I'm not too sure, but my guess is that's probably what's going to happen. And you say, "You know what? I would like some insurance." And they'll say, "That's wonderful. That's great. I think that that's good that you get insurance." But the next question that they will ask you is this: what kind of insurance? What type of protection are you working for? And so, let me just show you something that Scripture reveals to us. That when the Bible talks about protection, it speaks about it in a number of ways. As you go through life, you will need these different types of protection. The first one is what I will call the refuge, or perhaps the fortress. And this is a popular type of protection, and we hear and we learn and we talk about this protection because it's the most dynamic protection. It is the one that we like to talk about the most. It is that airtight, fully guarded, guaranteed place of safety. It is the ultimate safe place. It is the place where you need to go, where you are absolutely at your worst and nothing is going well for you, and you find yourself despondent, and there's a place that you need to go where you need total safety. It's called a stronghold in a lot of cases, a fortress. Now, fortress is such an older term. We kind of lose the thinking or the meaning of the word fortress. The best place that I can tell you about is Fort Knox. Fort Knox, would it not be a fortress? Like, it holds almost all of the gold in the United States, and not only that, but most of the gold of a lot of other countries as well. I have heard that the vault at Fort Knox is 20 tons, just the vault. If you were to go to Fort Knox, you will see a fortified, fenced-in city with guards with guns ready to shoot if you're not in the right place. You know, if you are not in the right place, or if you're in a place where you're not supposed to be in Fort Knox, they treat you rather rude. Then not only that, the technology is the top that it possibly can be. Not the president can't go in and give the combination of Fort Knox. As a matter of fact, there's probably a number of people that have to go through a number of things, and it is airtight. You know, the things of most value, we hold airtight. And that's a fortress, and that's kind of what God is talking about. A place where you will be absolutely safe. A place in the midst of all the difficulty that you are going through, you need to have. Psalm 91 talks about it. It says, whoever dwells in the most high, in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely he will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. It goes on to say that he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. It's a place that you need to be, where danger is imminent, and the strength that you have will not suffice, and that maybe death is near, or you just really don't know what is going to happen. See, David knew this place. David had times in his life where he knew this place intimately. He wrote about it all the time. Psalm chapter 23, the most popular psalm of them all. He talks about, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. He's talking about protection. Psalm 25, verse 7 says, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me on a high rock. Again, Psalm 32, verse 7, you're my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. David didn't just think this as well. Isaiah thought it as well. Isaiah basically says, don't fear, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am the Lord, and I will strengthen you and give you help. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Even the Proverbs, even Solomon kind of jumps in. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous will run into it and they'll be saved. All these things about a fortress. Have you ever been there? I don't know, maybe you haven't been in a cave hiding from an army, hiding from Saul like David was. But maybe you have been sitting in a doctor's office and you know you don't feel well. And you know that there's something wrong. And all those years of health that you had have been great, but for some reason now you're just wondering if there's something very difficult happening in your life. Or maybe you are sitting in a lawyer's office and you're facing a divorce that you never ever thought that you would face. You thought that you would spend life with this individual, and now all of a sudden you're up against something you don't even know what to do, and your gut is churning because of all the things that are taking place in your life, and you're just not too sure what to do. Perhaps you've had a loved one who has supported you and now they're gone. You don't know what to do. You don't know the next move to make. You don't have a clue what to do. In the midst of that, there's a God who hears and he holds you and he helps you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. He's a refuge. But that's not the only time that they talk about protection. That's one particular instance where it talks about protection. And again, that's the one we like the most, isn't it? We like that security. There's another one, and I'll kind of refer to it as the hedge. And it is found in Scripture in one particular spot, but it's kind of an area that perhaps we don't talk about as often. It's found in Job chapter 1, verse 10. It's probably the most popular. It's mentioned a number of times in Scripture. If you kind of went through your concordance, you'd find the word hedge a number of times. But I think the most important time in Scripture where you hear the word hedge is Job chapter 1, verse 10. And in that particular passage of Scripture, Satan is talking to God, and God says, hey, you can consider Job. And Satan says, well, of course Job is going to serve you. You have put a hedge around him. So not only he is affected, but his family's not even affected either. Of course he's going to serve you. You have to bribe them somehow, God. Well, it wasn't the case. But this whole aspect of the hedge of protection. What's the difference between a hedge of protection and a fortress of protection? Well, a fortress of protection is that time where you are at your wit's end and you don't have the resources and you need to hold on to God with everything that you have. A hedge is somewhat different. A hedge many times in Scriptures was a property divider. And many times people will put a hedge up to kind of guard their crops from animals and trespassers and stuff like that. But there's also a hedge that is known in Scripture, and I think that it's kind of what's being referred to here in the book of Job. It is boma, and maybe you don't know what the term boma means, but for those of you who watch those Survivor shows where they kind of put somebody in a helicopter and they drop them in the middle of Africa and they said, hey, here's a knife and here's a pot that you can cook water, and so why don't you just stay here and see if you can last for 30 days. You ever seen those shows? So what they do is they kind of find a place where there's water and a place where they can live, and what they do is they create what's called a boma. What's a boma? Well, it's a bunch of bushes which have a whole bunch of high thorns in it, and they build a big surrounding area, usually against a wall or usually around a tree or a strategic position. And what takes place is you build it so that you can start your fire in there and wild animals won't come in and kill you. See, the difference between that place where you are paralyzed and need protection is different than the times when you need to practically live and have protection. And so a boma is that time where you have to actually continue to live, right? You still have to live, don't you? It's not like Fort Knox. It's like a modern day car. Now, for those of you who have jalopies like me, you may not realize this, but the protection in a lot of these new cars is absolutely amazing. Not only do they have a bumper, well, my car has a bumper, it's good, you know, but they'll have collapsible engines so that if you get in a head-on collision, that engine will collapse, and they have front airbags, and they have side airbags, and they have reinforced steel. And if you drive cruise control and you drive too close to someone, it'll automatically keep you a certain distance away. As a matter of fact, many of the cars now have an automatic brake system, whereas even if you don't put the brakes on, it'll put the brakes on for you. And so the thing is, you are operating in the car, but there are safety features which are in place that help you to operate while you go. A hedge. Hedge of protection. We may even call it a covering. Something along those lines to keep the trespassers out, to different from a fortress, and it gives us the protection. But eventually, Here's the thing. You got to get back to the world. And Psalm 91 talks about protection from the deadly pestilence. It says that no harm will overtake you or no disaster will come upon your tent. It is the fact that God is somehow watching over you while you go out and live in the world, while you somehow make a difference. I remember when I was 28 years ago, and I remember this because my daughter is 28. But in the community that I lived in, people just kind of let their kids go to school, and they let their kids walk home from school, and everything was fine for a long period of time until someone came into the community named Paul Bernardo and took Leslie Mahaffey and Kristen French and abducted them, and they were killed. And so while this whole process was going on, I remember that the number of cars that were dropping kids off to school increased significantly, just increased. No longer would parents allow their kids to walk to school, even if it was only half a block. Fear had set in. There was a new normal that had taken place. And I will say this to you now, even 28 years later, you would have thought that the car riding would have subsided. It never has. In that particular community, most parents will drive their kids to school and drop their kids to school and pick up their kids to school because something had happened. I often wonder with COVID-19, we will get back to some reasonable state of normal, but there will always be something inside of us that says, I need to be a little bit more careful. In the midst of that, folks, we still have to live. You still have to go out. You still have to live life. You still have to be effective for Jesus. Well, that's when we begin to pray, God, set a hedge about me. Help me in the process to make a difference. But I would imagine that I'm going to be vulnerable to some point because I'm actually going to be in the world. But to be effective, I actually have to be in the world. So God, cover me. Not only that, cover my children. Somehow protect me. Psalm 16, verse 8, I keep my eyes on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Hebrews 13, 6, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? It's important to understand that there's a fortress, but also the fact that there is a hedge that God provides because we got to live. There's the last one, one that will probably be familiar to you as well. Anyone who's been a Christian for any length of time, it would be called the armor. There's the armor of God. The armor is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, where it says, our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And it is a familiarity in this, in that when you talk about the fortress, it says, those who bide under the shadow of the Almighty will seek protection. Those who serve the Lord will have a hedge. And when it talks about armor, it's talking about your feet being shed with the preparation of the gospel of peace and having on the breastplate of righteousness and having your belt being that of truth. And all of these things, it's talking about the fact that if you are living your life to fully cooperate with God's will, then this protection is there. And it's not a paralyzed protection like the fortress. It's not a practical protection like the hedge, but it's a prevailing protection because God calls us to go out to war to somehow make a difference. It is protection with the realization that there's a fight taking place. It is a battle which is an invisible one. It is that point when you realize that maybe the biggest battle that you have is the one that you don't see. It's a protection that when you see, when you realize that there is an entity that seeks to steal and to kill and destroy. And so we don't cower. You don't become afraid of the devil. But you realize that he is a creeping, lying, seeking whom he may devour. God has given us armor. I'll get into this probably in the next couple of weeks, but it is something which is important because you know what? God has called us to a fight. If you're not being bugged somehow, chances are that Satan has gotten the best of you. We kind of think that Satan is that one who comes and wreaks havoc on us, and I know that there are probably times when Satan can cause that. But Satan is the most effective when he renders you non-effective. That's where Satan works the most, where he keeps you from your identity. He keeps you from the purpose that you have in Christ. So let me ask you this morning, what kind of protection are you looking for? What's going on in your life? As you sit here this morning, pondering what you're going to do over the next week or whatever situation you're in, maybe you are here and you're saying, you know what? I need God to be my fortress. I'm going through perhaps the most difficult time in my life, and I need him. Or maybe you're just pondering, you're saying, I'm not too sure what to do in the midst of all that's going on. But I'm at a point where I'm having to say I need to somehow live. I need to somehow get out. And in the process, I need to take and glean upon the word of God that says that he will protect me as I live. Or maybe your battle is a spiritual one. Maybe you're in the midst of all three. I don't know. The thing is, the question you often have to ask yourself is this. Where am I dwelling? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The first question you got to ask yourself is this. Where am I dwelling? The ultimate act of protection is when Jesus came and died on a cross so that you might have life. He took your sin. It was impossible for you to get there alone. But somehow God, in his power and his grace, comes, dies for your sin so that you would not be subject to sin and the death that comes from it. So that's the first thing you need to deal with. If you're not here and you don't know Christ, that is the ultimate act of protection that you can have with God. Here's the thing. Can I pray for you somehow, in some way? I don't know what baggage you carry, but I do know that there is a God with big arms. And I think that he can help somehow, some way. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus and you want to pray. If that's the case, then we will provide an opportunity afterwards. There's an American native custom which is held by certain American native tribes. And it's kind of like a rite of passage for teenage boys. It's that kind of time when a boy becomes a man and there's a certain ritual that takes place in a number of tribes. And basically what they do is they take this boy when he is 13 years old and they blindfold him. And they put them in the middle of the forest. And we don't really think that that is that big of a deal. But if you sit in the middle of a forest where there are wolves and where there are like a whole bunch of different sounds taking place, have you ever been there and you're just kind of sitting and listening to all these howls and things which go on? And that child is supposed to sit alone in that forest until he feels the warmth of the sun coming up. And at that time, he's allowed to lift off the blindfolds from his hands. When he does, the first thing he sees when he removes the blindfold is he sees his father sitting in front of him. So you don't let him sit out there alone. But the father silently sits there, but the boy doesn't know it. The boy doesn't know the father's there. He's kind of stuck to hear the sounds, hear what's going on. Isn't that like us sometimes? Kind of sitting there, you're hearing the sounds. You don't know what it is. But let me just tell you, the Father's sitting there, knows exactly what we're going through. We need to see the protection of God. We're going to sing one more song. Then I'm going to close with a prayer of protection. And we're going to trust that God will move in our service today. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.